Let him go.
Second hour of the show. Welcome back. It's Southern New England Sports Saturday. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Nick Coit in our Warwick studios. Scott Cordisci on the road with the Brown men's basketball team. And speaking of college hoops, let's get into a little talk about the local college hoop scene. And let's welcome in our good friend Kevin McNamara from the Providence Journal joins us. Good morning, K-Mac. What's happening?
Morning, guys. Scotty, I was listening to the last 10 minutes last night. That's one that Brown is going to regret losing. Certainly was tough to listen to Jimmy Boeheim make shots to beat Brown.
Yeah, Jimmy Boeheim played well. He was 2 points shy of his career high with his mom and dad in attendance last night because Syracuse is off this weekend. And you're right, Jimmy Boeheim hurt the Brown Bears last night. But, Kevin, what really hurt him was 20 turnovers. They really, I thought, had a good game plan. I thought they outplayed, and I thought Mike and his staff out-coached Cornell's coaching staff. But the bottom line is those 20 turnovers. And the other thing is Desmond Cambridge, their star of stars, his play and Ivy play has really tailed off significantly. His shooting numbers are way, way down from where they were during the regular season, and that's really hurt them as well.
Scott, what was it, 3 of 12 last night from the field?
Yep, 3 of 12, yep.
Oof, they need more out of them.
3 of 12 with the potential game-winning shot.
Exactly.
It was kind of, I wouldn't say it was an easy shot, but it was a 16, 17-foot jumper. That's a shot, you know, and came up short.
So the Bears got their work cut out for them. I mean, you know, they want to get in the top four. They want to get to that Ivy tournament at Yale, but it's not going to be easy right now, the position that they put themselves in.
No, I watched Harvard play Princeton last night on TV, and I think Harvard's rounding into shape. And if you tell me that Princeton is not in the top four, they're pretty good. I know Brown played really well to knock them off last weekend, but Princeton has a very good team. I don't think there's a bad team in the league, and that makes it difficult for Brown, no question.
Yep.
Looking at the Bryant Bulldogs, Kevin, I think so far in NEC play, it's been up and down. I was there Thursday for the Sacred Heart debacle at the end of the game. It was a real shame to see a game decided with a technical foul. And if you weren't there, what happened was Sean Hohen for Sacred Heart, the senior, drove into the paint. Sebastian Towns stepped outside the circle, clearly outside the circle, stood like a building, and they called a block on him. The Bryant bench couldn't believe it. Jared Grasso took his jacket off on the bench, and the referee teed him up with 11 seconds to go. It was a five-point swing.
A five-point play, it turned out to be.
Five-point swing, and you know, Grasso was heated afterwards. He even said in the postgame, you know, I think the NEC is going to look at this, and clearly it was a charge. You know, my guy steps up, takes a charge, whatever. But, you know, other than that debacle, you know, it's been up and down in NEC. But what have you been, you know, I guess most encouraged by with Jared Grasso leading this program, especially in conference play?
I just think the pace of improvement. They really were not very good the first month of the season. You know, it jumps out at me at Brown. Brown took them apart badly, really badly. I think they've improved steadily. Some of the new guys are showing some promise, but bottom line is they've been healthy.
Yeah.
Bash Towns and Adam Grant last year were injured. Bash missed the majority of the season. I think now they're juniors. They are the best players on the team, and I think Bash has maybe three game-winning shots. You know, he's a vital, vital player. So those are Derek Grasso's building blocks, or a couple of the leftover players from Tim O'Shea's time. And it's just a matter of upgrading the talent. You know, they're clearly not one of the more talented teams in their league. The first year is all about, you know, getting the right culture and work ethic and whatnot. And certainly things are pointed in the right direction.
And I'll say this too, Kevin. You know, one positive you can take, whatever happened with that game with Sacred Heart, the final score in that game was 105-104 in an NEC game. And the Bulldogs shot 69% from the field.
It was a school record for points scored in Division I for Bryan, and they lost the game.
Grant couldn't miss. So, Kevin, you're right. Like, Grant has definitely stepped up. And Sebastian Towns, losing all that weight in the offseason, he's been a different guy for them.
Yeah, we'll see what happens going forward.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's about recruiting at this stage. It's funny, we know the names of a few guys, but it's not as if we can say, well, they have, you know, six, seven good players. They have a long way to go to get to that point. And now those two guys, two close friends from Virginia, will be seniors next year. So, you know, there's certainly an opportunity to make a pretty good jump in the NAC.
Sure.
Kevin, before we get to Providence College, let's talk a little bit about URI. And, you know, the Rams have struggled with mediocrity this season. And again, I hate to throw everything on one guy's shoulders, but I look at Fats Russell and, you know, I think they were hoping that he could step up and be a go-to guy and a legitimate scorer this year. And while he's averaging 13 points per game, his shooting numbers are down. He's shooting only 31% from the field and 18% from three. And I think that's really hurting their cause right now. He was a great spark coming off the bench for them last year, but as a starter, he has not developed into the guy that I think they hoped he would be as a sophomore.
Well, there's no question. It jumps out at you because they have three returning guys. I think Dave Cox needed all three to have really good seasons. And you just kind of fill in around them. Langevine and Jeff Doughton have been good. Not great, by the way, but good. And Fats really hasn't shown up consistently at all. Rhode Island, by the way, if you check the stats, is the worst three-point shooting team in the country this morning.
Yep.
Wow. I believe it's at 28%. There's 353 teams.
Yep.
That's tough to overcome. To Fats' credit, he hasn't been taking as many threes as he had earlier in the year, but that just opens up more problems of scoring. Now, that said, the other side of the ball has proved to be an issue the last couple of games. Dayton jumps out big time. The second half of another game, Davidson, at Davidson, very, very, very tough test, but you know, defensively they got whacked around a little bit. So I think that's what is bothering Dave Cox more than anything right now is, fine, the ball doesn't go in, we don't have enough shooters, but we need to show up defensively game after game, and that hasn't happened. That said, guys, I had this team as like a 500 team, and I think that they can be an 8-10, 9-9 Atlantic 10 team down the stretch here. And I'm not alarmed. I'll put it this way: I'm not alarmed at all. I think it's all about bringing in more players, somewhat similar to Bryant. They really don't have a consequential senior, so that they I want to see more progress of the young guys and see who they can recruit.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Kevin, and that's what I was going to ask you, too, about URI is, you know, what do you expect here, you know, for them maybe just to end this season? Is it just about the growth of these young guys? And specifically, you know, do you want to see more out of I look at Jermaine Harris and I say that's a guy that was their top recruit of this class, and yeah. I'm sure you want to see more of that and more growth out of him to end the season, right?
No, he's been certainly a disappointment, but it's tough to say a freshman is a disappointment because they haven't done anything yet.
Right.
It's to build everything around expectations is really unfair to someone. He just hasn't blossomed yet.
Right.
Excellent prospect. He's had, I really don't think he's played really well in one Atlantic 10 game. So, you know, he's just not ready yet is what it boils down to. Tyrese Martin, he's ready. You know, he's a very good freshman, clearly their best freshman, one of the better freshmen in the league. They need more of them. And it was interesting this week, there was a rumbling out there that, you know, Dave Cox is still recruiting for next year, although all of his scholarships are lined up. Hey, man, that's the way of the game. That's the way of the world. You have to keep stocking up your talent base. That's the way of the world in college basketball.
Well, and you know what? And that's interesting that you say that, Kevin, because, you know, we're talking with Kevin McNamara of the Providence Journal, and we have a question here on the text line from Sean Rumford. He said, good morning, guys. This question is for all of you, but specifically K-Mac. The college basketball teams around here aren't winning at the same clip as they were last year. We all know the college basketball transfer culture is fragile and changing by the day. What's the word out there about potential transfers in and out? Obviously, schools can't comment this time of year because nothing is official, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, and keep up the great work, Sean Rumford. So what are your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Well, if you tell me that someone's going to leave Rhode Island and someone might leave Providence, it wouldn't shock me in the least. It happens all the time. No one is at the top of my list. There's been rumblings that Drew Edwards, who will graduate, but have 1 year left of eligibility. Not quite sure if he'll come back or if he could be a grad transfer pickup, a pretty good grad transfer pickup somewhere else.
Sure.
Don't know. As far as underclassmen, I don't see anyone at Providence who, you know, jumps out at me. Down at URI, you know, they have a big kid who people don't even know, Mike Tercia. He never, ever played, and he's a junior. Maybe he's a possibility. I mean, I can't imagine that he's in their plans for next year. He truly never plays. He's a junior. Sorry, Sean. There's no one that jumps out to me.
Sure.
Kevin, the Friars, you know, it's been kind of a little bit of an up-and-down season for them as well, but I guess most people, myself included, just tie it to their general youth and inexperience. I mean, at this point in the season, I guess you're no longer inexperienced because you've gotten a lot of playing time, but they're just a young team, and you know, I think they'll be better off next year and the year after because of it, but right now they're just suffering, I think, the fate of a young team and riding the ups and downs of having such a young team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It was kind of interesting. At Villanova the other day, the preseason rookies of the year in the Big East were David Duke and Javon Quinterly, who's a point guard at Villanova. David starts, really has struggles big time against Phil Booth. Well, Phil Booth is literally 31 years old. He's played in two national championship games.
Yeah.
You know, he's been there, done that. David Duke is a freshman from classical high school.
Right.
And Javon Quinterly didn't play in the first half. And in the second half, he get in, I think he totaled 4 minutes the whole game. So that's the difference. You know, coming in, publicity-wise, rating-wise, those two guys with the, you know, two best freshmen in the league, two most highly touted. One has the weight of the world on his shoulders and has been inconsistent up and down, helped Providence win a couple games and been a no-show in others, and the other doesn't even play. It just shows where the two programs are, number one, but it also shows there's not many freshman point guards playing in a league like the Big East. It's hard. That said, at this stage of the game, it's late. Providence has six games left. Four at home. I think I wrote it in today's journal. The exact same record as 2 years ago, where they flipped the switch, won six in a row, and snuck into the NCAA tournament. I'd like to know a Friar fan out there who thinks that could happen, repeat itself, because this team just doesn't have that type of vibe.
But looking at the standings in the Big East for a team like this that's young, I'm sure there's a lot of benefit here, and looking at the standings and saying, okay, well, we're 4-8, but you know, Seton Hall, St. John's sitting there at 6-6, and you know, we win a few games here, we could go up to third, fourth in the conference, you know, maybe win a game or two in the Big East tournament, and if that's the way the season ends, I'm sure Ed Cooley would take that as a positive, right?
Well, I think I also throw in the story, you know, fine, they don't make the NCAA tournament this year, you know, it snaps a long string, and that's disappointing, but this is a team that's talented enough to at least make the NIT. And right now, if the season ended, they would be in the NIT. They're about 75 in the net ranking, which is an NIT-worthy thing. With six games to go, they can slide backwards and out of the NIT. That would not be good. I think they, again, have enough experience, have enough talent, and have had enough good performances this season where you know that it's there. So it's up to Ed Cooley and the guys to at least play solidly down the stretch here. And, you know, they really haven't played great at home this year. They've fallen behind early several times and taken the crowd out of it. Maybe that changes today against Xavier.
All right, I have to ask you this question because this stuck in my craw a few weeks ago after reading your story after the Georgetown loss. And the Georgetown loss, to refresh people's memory, was the Friars had a chance not once but twice to foul up by three at the end of regulation and overtime. In neither instance did they do so, and Georgetown ended up winning the game in double overtime. And I thought that was a very damaging loss at the time for Providence. I question why Ed and his staff didn't have them foul, and I know there's conflicting reports he told them to, but they didn't. Whatever the case may be, he made a comment to you that you had in the paper saying fans are entitled to their opinion, they pay a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. But then he followed it up by saying, but most of them have never called a timeout or coached a basketball game. So, you know, which is it? Do we have a right to our opinions and stuff like this, or is he going to belittle fans' opinions because – you know, we've never coached a game like he has. My point is, I think he made a mistake, okay? And whether or not he wants to admit that, I think he made a mistake not fouling up three. Some coaches elect not to do it. I think when you're under 10 seconds, under eight, certainly under five, you have to foul and send them to the free throw line and not give them a chance at attempting a game-tying three.
Yeah, two different situations, Scott. So the first one, where Mac McClung made one from literally half court, they were trying to foul. Mackay Ashton Langford literally got faked on the catch, and he missed him. He went to grab him and missed him, and no one else came up to foul him. And sure enough, he knocks one in from half court. So I think Ed's point in that one was, you know, no one's You know, you haven't called a timeout. You didn't even know what we were trying to do. We were trying to foul. We messed it up. The second one, they were not trying to foul. They thought there was enough time to play the ball screen right. It was in a half-court situation, and Akinjo made a 25-footer. Makai was not trying to foul on that one. Makai and Nate Watson messed up a ball screen at the top of the key, and there's just no excuse for it.
And look, I give them credit because they were the beneficiary of that earlier in the season at Boston College when Christian decided not to foul. Reeves hit the game-tying three, and they ended up winning that game in overtime. So it goes both ways. My point is, though, when you get into that situation, I think you have to foul and don't give your opponent a chance to attempt that game-tying shot.
Well, I think, you know, taking it a step further, that game, UMass at home where they were up 20 and lost at the buzzer. DePaul, and I shouldn't say DePaul on the road, but Seton Hall on the road. There's a lot of really good chances to win or out and out let games slip through the fingers. You give Providence three more wins right now. Well, two more wins in the league, and they're 6-6. Three more wins overall. They got 17, and they're on the bubble. It just shows every game counts, even the ones back in November, and especially the ones where you don't foul a three-point shooter with 3 seconds left. So it's been a frustrating season for Ed Cooley. He'll tell you it's been the most frustrating season he's had a problem.
All right, so let's wrap up on this, Kevin. And speaking of this season and Ed Cooley, there's been a lot of talk here. The team and the program gets to 5 straight NCAA tournaments. You know, has enjoyed some success here. And this year has been obviously different. And Ed Cooley said that, you know, recently. And there's been some talk, well, you know, and we had Dan and Cranston call this morning and say, you know, some Friar alums are getting frustrated with Ed Cooley, and there's this narrative that he's a good recruiter, but, you know, yeah, in terms of being a coach, whatever. And Scott and I, our answer to that was, you know, be careful what you wish for. You know, what is your response when you hear things like that or hinting at the talk of, you know, is Ed Cooley going to, you know, 5 tourneys and 1 win for Ed Cooley? What's your response to that?
Well, the record is what the record is. 5 NCAA tournaments in a row is a school record. That has never happened before. I don't know if it'll ever happen again. And for any of us to assume that Providence College should be in the NCAA tournament every year, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not reality. That's one part of the record. The other part of the record is in those 5 chances, they only won once, and that's on them. You know, they certainly they had some bad draws. We can go back into the, you know, why they ended up, you know, with only 1, but it is what it is. That said, maybe I'm guilty of it because I report on their recruiting and I say, well, you know, they got this guy, they got that guy. Guess what? They're in the Big East. Everyone has top 50 players. Everyone has top 100 players. Some schools, like Villanova, has McDonald's All-Americans every year. So, you know, that's the part of the you know, Friar bashing that I don't get. Well, they have all this talent. They have good. They have some talent. They have some good players. Everyone else does in the Big East. I mean, up and down, every single team outside of DePaul has top 100, top 50 players. Every single one. So just because they have David Duke and Makai and Alpha and Nate Watson, everyone else has very good players, guys who can potentially play in the NBA. And I think people miss that.
Kevin, sure. I'm chuckling because you just made me think of an old Pete Gillen line. Duke has 5 McDonald's All-Americans on their roster. We have 5 guys that eat at McDonald's.
Yes, indeed. And Duke is on TV as much as Leave It to Beaver reruns.
That's right.
Oh, that's good. Oh, man. I wish I got to cover you. He seems like a gem.
He was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, he was the best. Oh, he was the best.
That's awesome.
I can't even tell you. You know, he was great in front of the, you know, microphones. The phone calls, you know, just kind of to catch it up and get ready for an advance or a game. He would have me in stitches. I'm like, Pete, I got to go. You're killing me. He was great. He really is. I love to see him on the trail now. He does an excellent job on TV.
Sure.
He does.
Yeah. All right, Kev. Hey, great stuff. As always, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and we'll see what happens.
No problem,
here.
Guys. Enjoy the game. Scott,
awesome.
Good luck.
Kevin. Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin McNamara of the Providence Journal joining us here on the show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's Southern New England Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.